Hot Lava Podcast, Kevin Acey, Potters beat writer. I'm in St. Louis. Jay Posner, sports editor, the Union Tribune. He's in San Diego. Jay probably getting ready to sit down. We're finally here. It's playoff-like series. Finally, just like we expected, Padres, Cardinals, 2 weeks to go in the season for almost all the marbles.
As I keep seeing on Twitter, the Cardinals ruin everything. It's like they are the team that just will not go away. Nobody outside of St. Louis or Cardinals fans, I guess, wants to see the Cardinals in the playoffs. It's like, can we just get a break from the Cardinals? But no, the one team that has actually played like they want to be in the postseason has been the Cardinals.
Right. Barely. And so barely, that's good enough. Barely, they're like the hottest wild card team around.
I mean, they're 76 and 69. It's not like they're threatening the Dodgers or anything like that, but they are a half game better than the Padres. They're a game better than the Reds. They're 2.5 better than the Phillies. And by the way, I think the Phillies and the Reds have all these easy games coming up, but are they good enough to even beat these bad teams? I mean, the Reds have been struggling against everyone. I think the Phillies have almost as easy a schedule as the Reds. The Cardinals have it tougher. The Reds, I know, play the Dodgers this weekend, but they still have a bunch of games left against the Pirates. Of course, they just lost to the Pirates a couple times. So anyway, well, that's neither here nor there as far as this weekend. It's about the Padres. As my favorite newsletter author wrote this morning, the Padres can't win the second wild card spot this weekend, but it seems like they could all but lose it. And I do think that's a good way that writer – oh, wait, that was you – put it, because even if the Padres were to sweep this weekend, which, you know, would obviously be great for the Padres, their fans, I mean, all that stuff, they still have all these games left with the Giants and the Dodgers and even the Braves coming up in the last 2 weeks. And so there's no guarantees that they'd be able to take, you know, like a two-game lead at that point and be – home free. But exactly, if they were to get swept, which I think is what you were getting at here, they would really be in big trouble. I mean, they would be, what, four games behind the Cardinals in the loss column, I think,
right, huh?
With just 2 weeks to go. I mean, that would be really,
I don't care who
really
you're playing
difficult.
At that right. point. That at would that be point, difficult.
Because
then throw in the who you're playing.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that was a great way to
let me ask
sum
you this.
This up.
Let me ask you this. So yeah, they can't win it. I didn't really even have a counter argument for if they are 2.5 games up, if they do sweep these guys, it's kind of like, well, let's just see what happens. But I'll tell you what, if they sweep this team with Vince Velasquez, Yu Darvish, and Jake Arrieta going as the starting pitchers, let me ask you right. this. Does it change how you feel about the Padres? Like, because right now it's kind of like, there's just no way they get this done with the state of their pitching. But if they do sweep the Cardinals, does it, having just won two against the Giants? I'm not talking about the big Mo that you believe
in. No,
I
know what you mean.
I'm talking about like, is this team who, you know, they said they were?
Right. Yeah, I think you would certainly have to look at them differently if that happened. I think you'd have to look at them a little differently if they won two out of three this weekend. I think, but where you are saying that they can't win it,
right,
this weekend, I think you're 100% accurate, because they would put a little bit of separation. They'd be two games up on the Cardinals in the loss column. But again, that's just two games. The Reds, we don't know where the Reds are going to be. We don't know where the Phillies are going to be. And again, with who the Padres have to play, yeah, they'd be playing better. But I had to laugh, and I know you do this for my benefit, put a quote from Tommy Pham in your story today about we can take this momentum to St. Louis. I mean, momentum for the Padres right now is when they win two. I mean, they've won two games in a row three times in the last month. They have not won three in a row in more than a month. So let's not get carried away with talk about momentum, especially
July. Yeah.
Right, when Vince Velasquez.
It was August.
It was right before the
two times since the All-Star break, though. That's
right,
incredible.
Right. Yeah. So, but, you know, they had 30 hits the last two games, which was something they had not done since that crazy weekend in Washington, you know, right after the All-Star break. There's no question this was a different team the last 2 days. But, again, it's two games, and, you know, you're still, whatever comes up. I mean, I think if you're going to win this weekend, you're not going to win too many games 2-0 this weekend. You know, you're going to have to continue to slug. You're going to have to drive in runs. Eric Hosmer can't leave 40 runners on third base with less than two out or whatever it seemed like he was doing against the Giants. I mean, they have to have productive outs. They have to get, you know, they have to have productive hits. I think they're going to have to win it with their offense and just get a little bit of pitching. But it's hard to see them winning a bunch of games right now, 2-1, 3-2.
This is,
you know, anything like that.
This is not a team. Now, look, they'll go out in the core of their lineup, which does have good players, will completely prove me wrong. But this is not a dangerous team. I mean, the Padres pitching staff could put together 27 innings this weekend that relatively speaking, shut down the Cardinals. This is not Vince Velasquez and Jake Arrieta and the recent Yu Darvish going against the Dodgers or the Giants. It's not. That's there's a reason the Cardinals are where they are at.
Right, but they have hit better since the break. Mm-hmm. Arenado's been good. Goldschmidt's been really
good. They've got really good hitters.
And yes. They've got a couple other guys that have gone over 800 with their OPS in the last couple of months. So, they're dangerous enough. They're playing at home. You know, I'm sure the crowds will be big. I mean, we know they're the best fans in baseball, so they'll certainly turn out this weekend, or else risk losing that title. I mean, if you don't turn out for this weekend,
I have followed.
You cannot be the best fans in baseball.
I think they've been kind of disappointed in the fans here. The media has, yeah, because you know they are big fans of the fans here in St. Louis. And I will say this: I'm big fans of the fans here in St. Louis.
I agree. We laugh about it, but they have turned out for their
and they're knowledgeable and they're nice and it's the Midwest and it's just it is. It's really a fantastic place to watch a ball game. Miles Michaelis is pitching for the Cardinals tonight. Gosh, look at me going through this road trip. Cardinals. Miles Michaelis is pitching for the Cardinals tonight. Adam Wainwright tomorrow. We'll get to all these. And it looks like J.A. Happ on Sunday, though officially it's not J.A., it's TBD. But Miles Michaelis has been come back from, I believe it was a forearm strain. He's been going about five innings. And he's been going about five innings, I think, and getting up four or five runs. So this is not Adam Wainwright. Adam Wainwright, I think, has 16 wins and like a 2.88 ERA. That's tomorrow night's starter against Darvish. You should be glad that you at least have Darvish going against him. And then, Arrieta against Happ. We got some veterans going, don't we?
We do. And I think bringing up Happ's name is a good way to get into something that happened around the trade deadline, which has obviously been a big topic for us. And all around the Padre sphere in the last, 6 to 8 weeks or whatever. And that is that the Cardinals added two veteran pitchers at the deadline, two starters, John Lester, J.A. Happ. Neither one of them had been pitching all that well at the time of the time there. And I was reading Ken Rosenthal's piece in The Athletic this week about the Cardinals and sort of their thinking there. And their GM said, we felt like we just needed to add innings, and these guys had not been great. They probably gave up. I think Ken wrote that they probably gave up a little bit more than maybe some people thought they should have for those guys based on how they were pitching. But the Cardinals felt like, hey, we'll get a couple veterans in here. We'll work with them. We'll see what we can do, see if we can salvage something. I mean, these guys are both, I mean, John Lester's coming up on 200 career. Say what you want about the wins. I mean, the win stat, he's close to 200 career wins. The guy has been a great, great pitcher, had a great career. J.A. Happ has also had a very good career. And the Cardinals said, look, we don't have enough pitching. We're going to get a couple of veterans in here and see what we can do. Contrast that, of course, with what the Padres did. The Padres felt they had enough pitching, and we found out within hours of the deadline that they didn't have enough pitching and they didn't have enough depth. If anything happened, and we're seeing the results of that now, they're having to go get guys like Arrieta and Velasquez literally off the scrap heap, guys that were not even employed at the time they signed them. So I think the Cardinals deserve credit for doing that. And it's an interesting contrast with the Padres, and we'll see what happens this weekend. I mean, maybe Velasquez and Arrieta go out and they beat, well, Michaelis has been there, but they beat Happ. And the Padres win this series and get to the playoffs. But I just thought it was interesting the way the Cardinals approached it at the deadline as opposed to the way the Padres approached it.
And you know, we've been over this, and I mean, I agree with you, and I don't think that any of us besides AJ Preller thought that the Padres had enough pitching to, you know, that they at least needed innings, but he thought they did. And in particular, since he's the guy who had to part with his prospects, and other teams know what the Padres have, and look, their system isn't as deep as it was. And so there's the guys at the top, and not just the top four, but some other guys that they weren't going to give up for starting pitching. Right. And other teams, I mean, that's a key word. That's exactly where if A.J. Preller were sitting here, if there was another box and A.J. Preller was sitting here on the screen, that he would glob onto the phrase that, you know, they gave up more than, you know, some people thought they should or whatever. That's right. Exactly what he wasn't going to do. Right or wrong, it was that I'm not going to do that for a J.A. Happ or even a Jose Berrios or even a Kyle Gibson, who is only going to, you know, help us beat the so-sos. Well, if you beat the so-sos, then you wouldn't be here needing to go 12-4 against the really good teams. And if you're such a good team and all you need to do is get into the tournament, then maybe beating the so-and-sos would have been really good. But I think they really thought they were good enough to do better, and so did we.
Against
the Rockies, the Marlins, and all the crap in the league.
Yeah, I mean, it was a decision that two GMs made, John Mozeliak, I believe, of the Cardinals, and Preller of the Padres. I mean, look, you got to run your team the way that you think is best, and the only thing that matters in the end is the results. And right now, the way the Cardinals went about it has turned out better than the way the Padres went about it. So we'll see. You know, there's still 2.5 weeks to go in the season. There's 3 big games this weekend and 2 more big weeks to come before, you know, the tale is told. I mean, look, how many Padre fans thought the game was over the other day when Emilio Pagan came in and walked 2 guys? I mean, that was going to be a disaster of an inning, and he pitched out of it. So, you know, look, the Padres have gotten themselves in a really difficult position right now. I don't know that a lot of people saw them winning the last 2 games. I mean, we talked about where they're going to find 3 wins on this trip. Well, they found 2 the last 2 weeks. We don't know what's going to happen. But when it all does happen, then you can say, okay, Preller was right, Mozeliak was wrong, vice versa, whatever, however it turns out. But it's an interesting contrast this weekend, and especially with Happ pitching on Sunday against the Padres.
This Hot Lava Padres podcast segment is brought to you by Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, located in Escondido and serving the San Diego community for over 60 years.
Who has the best deals in the auto game? It's got to be Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, the auto all-stars. Right now, lease a new 2021 Ram 1500 Warlock Edition, Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo, or Jeep Renegade Latitude for only $198 a month or 0% APR and no payments for 90 days. Head to Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Escondido, San Diego, where we make shopping easy. Find these deals today during Jeep Adventure Days.
Here's where the Padres are at. It's like, it's so interesting. Where are they going to find 3 wins? And they've won 2. And so now if they go 2 or 3 here, that's great. And they're going to be on top of the wild card unless the Reds sweep the Dodgers. You know, the Padres will have a lead of it would be a half a game, I guess, if they win 2. Is that right?
Yeah, depending on what, right. So,
right. And we'd say, oh, okay, well, they salvaged this trip. But I don't think they did. They put themselves in a situation where starting 0-5 on the trip, any other time in the season, you start 0-5 on a trip and you finish 4-6, you say, you know what? They salvaged this trip. This could have got a lot worse. Okay, it's baseball. You play every day, regroup, and move on. Well, that's not the place they're in. It's like yesterday, there were so many plays. There were so many calls by umpires. There were foul balls. There was, you know, Tatis's ball that, you know, there's that you guys watching the game, the fence, it's a Chevron commercial.
I know.
And it's those cartoons. There's the dog, and the fence goes up over this one section where there's this dog driving a car, and his home run cleared that to the left. And it's like, okay, so that was positive by inches for the Padres. Mm-hmm. There were a whole bunch of ways in a game that was probably closer than the 7-4 score that it's like, man, this baseball, this game of baseball often does come down to those, and the Padres have put themselves in a position where I'm watching every single one of those going, man, Tommy Pham just fouled the ball down the right field line by inches. He's about to strike out, and then they're going to lose. Okay, so that was where the Padres season came down to, but it was only there because, and then, of course, that didn't happen. But it's like that's where the Padres are at right now.
Well, and look at Machado. I mean, Machado, and we've talked about this all year, hits more balls hard than almost anyone in baseball. I think he's third in the entire league, leagues, in terms of hard hit balls. Yes. Vlad Guerrero and was it Aaron Judge, I think?
It's Aaron Judge, yes, just above
him. And Machado has just smoked balls all year long. And yet, you know, he's hitting 274 because a lot of those balls just keep going right at people. And it happened yesterday. And then he swings at the first pitch in that at bat in the eighth inning, I think it was. Yes. It's outside the strike zone, and it goes off the end of his bat at 70 miles an hour and falls into center field, and two huge runs score. So it's just – that's why we say we can't predict what's going to happen. You know, it's easy to jump off the ledge when stuff's going wrong or to think everything's great when stuff's going right. But things change so quickly, and it's a matter of inches and all this. And, you know, it's like the last couple of weeks, the Cardinals are going to play the Brewers and the Cubs. Those are the two teams they play the last 2 weeks. I think the Reds play the Pirates a lot and somebody else. The Phillies play the Pirates and the Cubs. So it's, you know, look, those are all crummy teams, but that doesn't mean they can't win. It doesn't. We've talked about the Pirates, they're the Reds' easy schedule for a long time now, and they haven't taken advantage of it. So look, we've said this before. This is why you watch sports. You don't, if you want to know what's going to happen, you know, watch a predictable movie or something like that. I mean, just look at the football game last night and how it ended with a guy, you know, a missed field goal, and they call a guy offside who may or may not have been offside. He gets another kick, and the guy makes it barely. And, you know, seasons change on things like that. Seasons change on balls like Tommy Pham hit yesterday that was just foul, and then he turns around and gets a double anyway to drive in a couple runs. Seasons change on Machado having a ball. Look at Brandon Belt. How hard did he hit that ball off of Austin Adams, and it was caught, you know, 400 feet from home plate? That's probably a home run in, I don't know, 28 parks maybe.
It is unreal, the balls that go into those alleys there, particularly in right center. Wow. Yes. So,
and that's what's great. I mean, every time a guy throws a pitch or swings the bat, you don't know what's going to happen. And I think that's why this is so much fun right now. And I know if you're a longtime fan and you're living and dying with every pitch, maybe you don't consider it fun. But you know, I live and die with a couple other teams that are not in San Diego. But you love watching the games because you don't know what's going to happen. And I think that's what happens here. And the Padres are not out of this. But if they get swept this weekend, it's going to be about time to light some candles.
I light some candles for the dead, light some candles for a miracle, because it'll be kind of somewhere in between the two.
I think it's whatever your preference, maybe whatever your religion.
I'll ask Nick you're supposed to do when you go to the Catholic mass. But
there's a Jewish prayer card. You say Kaddish in the Jewish religion. It might be time to say Kaddish if they lose, if they get swept this weekend.
So I love what you said, Jay, and it's time this weekend to separate the two, because everything you said about enjoying this moment is true, as is it true that the Padres really screwed up to be in this situation.
Of course. And
after the season, as we have done all along, after the season, or maybe after Sunday, I don't know, is the time to look into that if it goes, hey, I don't care if they go and they lose that wild card game. It's probably time to say, hey, what did they do wrong? And what can you fix? So anyway, what else, Jay? I thought, you know, what was interesting yesterday, and I was going to put this in the newsletter, and then, you know, I had flights and all that stuff, but people, for some reason, maybe for fun, maybe because they really wanted to, tried to get Jace Tingler, who is the king of momentum talk, to talk about momentum yesterday, and he absolutely wouldn't. And I'm going to ask him about it today. It felt like either he'd realized or someone had talked to him that this just doesn't sound right anymore. And so he would say things like, for 2 days, we did this. You know, right. Yes, we feel good. We have to do it again tomorrow. There's no more, man, this is going to get us rolling or momentum or anything. I mean, it appeared to me to be a concerted effort. I thought that was interesting.
Who has the best deals in the auto game? It's got to be Jack Powell, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, the Auto All-Stars. Right now, lease a new 2021 Ram 1500 Warlock Edition, Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo, or Jeep Renegade Latitude for only $198 a month or 0% APR and no payments for 90 days. Head to Jack Powell, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram in Escondido, San Diego, where we make shopping easy. Find these deals today during Jeep Adventure Days.
And yes. I think the last thing that we should talk about, unless you've got some more and you want to really dive into Vince Velasquez, who's starting tonight and, you know, hasn't pitched in the majors since July 30th. The offense was incredible in terms of it being 4-hour games, these victories, the pitch after pitch after pitch for most of, for many of the at-bats, especially on Wednesday. It's a pleasure to watch. It is also unbelievable that I'm going to be on deadline again and in the Midwest. It's absolutely unbelievable how long these guys play.
I had to laugh at AJ Cassavell from the MLB Padres website, tweeting at fans saying you're not allowed to complain about the Padres hitting approach for over a month and then complain that the games are taking too long when they're grinding at bats. Because
this is what they did.
That's what they did. The question, of course, that everybody would have is, okay, where was this? What happened in the last month? And I think you addressed this. Maybe it was someone else. And if it wasn't you, you can tell me. Yeah. But I think what happened was, or what I read was that they were challenged more. Uh-huh. And I think you wrote about that there were more pitches in the strike zone for them to swing at, basically. And so it wasn't like they were chasing a lot of pitches. In fact, it was frustrating to watch because they weren't even swinging at strikes. It was almost like they were surprised that there were pitches strike. Yeah. The Giants don't swing. I mean, other than Steven Duggar the other night, who thankfully chased a Pagan fastball that was rising out of the zone. But it's incredible watching the Giants the last couple of days and how many pitches they lay off. And that's what the Padres were doing these last couple of days. And it's what the Padres did earlier in the year when they were winning a lot of games and scoring some runs. And it's what they have not been doing for so long. And it's like, you know, I know everybody wants, you know, we always want to say, oh, why didn't the manager tell him this? Why didn't the hitting coach tell him? Do you really think that the hitting coach didn't remind them of this over and over and over again? Look, it's a hard game. We all know that. But it just seemed like, how did the switch get flipped the other day? And what suddenly happened on Wednesday where it was like, oh, yeah, we could grind at bats like this?
Yeah, especially in a bullpen game when you know those, you know, relievers want to get out of there quick. You know that they're and they just made it where it's like I keep track of pitches and strikes and all this during games. It gets a little rough on deadline, but I really try to do this because it tells you part of a story. And you just don't on bullpen games. But they made those guys throw so many pitches that you were like, where's you were, you know, how many this reliever's thrown 33 pitches? What?
Right.
It was masterful. And I went back, Jay, and it's not like obviously they didn't go undefeated the first 3 months of the year when they were doing this, but they were characterized by it. They were in game. They were scoring runs. They were getting guys in scoring position. I mean, it was who they were. And then suddenly it was not who they were. And then as has happened, and I wrote a story about how difficult hitting is and how it kind of, even for a hitter like Manny, one of the best of his generation, it can get in your head like, okay, they're throwing strikes. I got to get up there and I got to swing. And then you're swinging at the wrong pitches. And then that leads to you swinging at more wrong pitches. And then you're going to like, I'm going to take. And then, I mean, and that happened in a way that some of the people on the team and the coaches that have been around a long time have not seen, where five really good hitters at the same time were in a slump for the Padres this year. Now, I'm just explaining it. I'm not saying that, you know, Damian Easley won't be the next hitting coach casualty. I'm just saying, you know, that's what's happened this year. But here we are in St. Louis. It's the place to be. I'm actually really excited, Jay. Awesome. I love coming to this ballpark. And this is what we expected. Maybe this isn't the opponent we expected. Maybe this isn't the dire situation we expected. Mm-hmm. I think what we were expecting was maybe this was a series, or around here was when the Padres did what the Dodgers just did, which was wrap up a wild card spot and start right. lining up, you know, Yu Darvish, who already had 20 wins. You know, we started lining him up for the wild card game or something, but that's not where we're at. Again, I don't think it's a good sign that Blake Snell went on the IL, but I haven't seen him on the field. He played, he did play catch once, and that's when he went on the IL because he still felt it. Could he start next week at home, the Braves? I think it would be Sunday. Sure, he could. You know, there's no guarantee. Chris Paddock, could he start Wednesday against the Giants? Sure, he could. We'll see how. We'll look for updates on what they do this weekend.
Right. And the thing about that, about losing those guys at, and it's like, you know, you could say, wow, it's really bad luck that those guys went down. But it also illustrates how losing those games earlier in the year, you know, games against crappy teams, and you lose your cushion, you lose your margin for error, you lose your margin for bad luck, like Blake Snell, you know, turning it around and being, you know, pitching like a Cy Young winner, which he really was for what, 8 or 9 starts, I think it was. And then getting hurt at, you know, just the time when it's like, oh, you know, he was going to pitch 3 or 4 more games the rest of the year, that the Padres needed all of those games. Yeah. And now they're not going to have them. So it just, it illustrates, look, it's a long season and you just can't, you can't blow opportunity. Whenever you lose a game, whenever you blow an opportunity, there's a chance for it to come back and haunt you. And that doesn't mean that you play every game to win, you know, all out to win. But I do think, and we saw it yesterday, and I was going back and forth with Tom Krasovic during the game, and I said, Jace Tingler needs to manage this game like it's game 7 of the World Series. I mean, they have to win. And when they have they had a 4-run lead, they have to win that game. And
what did he do?
He managed it like it was game 7. And I mean, he brought Pagan in after a long night, outing the night before. I'm not sure I would have started Melanson in the 9th, but, you know, they did. And it almost came back to bite him. You know, he was a little bit out of it, because one thing is the Giants aren't going to chase his pitches that are 3 inches.
And that's where he gets in trouble. He gets ahead on guys, then they have to chase it. You're right, Jay.
Right. And so there's the problem. And, you know, one guy tweeted me and said, oh, I wouldn't have done it because, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow night? That's not a good reason. I wouldn't have done it because I just thought Melanson was gassed and probably needed a day off. But but you got to win that game, win the Thursday game. When you get to Friday, worry about Friday. If they get to, you know, if they have a lead tonight in the 8th or 9th inning, you're just going to have to get guys out there and hope they pitch better. I mean, I mentioned this on Twitter yesterday. Sooner or later, guys have to do their – or yesterday, the day before. Sooner or later, guys have to do their job. They are on this team because the Padres think they're good enough to get outs. And if that means – if Sean Anderson has to go out there and pitch the 8th or the 9th inning tonight, or Craig Stammen has to close tonight, then that's – so be it. I mean, it's still baseball. It's still getting guys out. And whether you're called on – I've always believed this – you're called on in the 4th inning or the 9th inning, you're still pitching to a guy and you're supposed to get him out. So get him out, right?
Those two, I think you're totally right on, and that's probably how they're going to have to do it. And I thought the last two nights or games, call every game a night, were like playoff games in that. It was like, they're messy, man. And some guy who has thrown in 4 of the last 5 days comes in and gets a 10 pitch out like Emilio Pagan. And I mean, those were like playoff games. The two games the Giants won were just a team that hits a lot of home runs off a team that gives up a lot of home runs. We were in the regular season then, but the Padres evidently started the playoffs 2 days ago.
That at bat, Pagan against Duggar the other night, I mean, that was and Pagan, the at bats after he got in trouble in that inning, that was October baseball.
Yes.
Right there. Yeah. I mean, that was what you see in October. We saw it with the Padres last year. In the playoff game, especially the game against the Cardinals that they clinched in, you know, that's fun.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward to this weekend and the games coming up earlier games. Of course, you'll still end up on deadline with a 4-hour game, but 5:15 Pacific on Friday, an hour earlier tomorrow, and then the day game Sunday.
You Padres fans should be hoping that I'm writing on deadline, because it means the Padres have turned this into at least having a chance to win, because that's how they do it. It's absolutely remarkable. It was, all right. It was good to see him back that way, in that it's kind of fun to watch, like all the things that we broke down here. It was kind of fun to watch.
Monday's an off day, right?
It is. And then, oh my gosh, the Giants again.
So we'll talk to everybody on Tuesday.
Thanks, everybody.